It's Monday, the 27th of October, and I'm Maureen Guest, working with the Whitley's Oral History Group, and I'm here at Walsgrove Farm to talk to Jeff Goodman about how his family came to be here and the history of farming at Walsgrove over the years. So, Jeff, where were you born?
Right, I was born at Hay Farm, Bewdley. Mm-hmm. So I'm Worcestershire through and through, born and bred. Born in 1940 at Hay Farm, Bewdley. My father was, he was farming there since 1928, I think he went to Bewdley. And he originally was, had cattle, but a lot of poultry. He's always had a lot of poultry, breeding for eggs and developing new breeds, and that he was well up in that. Was because then in the war, which he hadn't done, he had to play with a farmer because they were made too with the war agriculture, war ag, and they had to he had to plough up most of the farm, and so then it went on from then. Anyway, then I remember we had about a few cows at Bewdley, and then quite a lot of poultry, all outside, of course. We actually, and that's where I was there until I was 1956, we moved to Walsgrove. It seemed like a very long way away in those days. In fact, when I was really, my first introduction, if you like to put it that way, to Great Whitley was, we used to come when I was young, and it was difficult to get here in those days because of the war and petrol rationing and all that sort of thing, but we used to come to Woodbury Hill in the springtime when the bluebells were out. And Woodbury Hill in those days, that was before Norman Lees had it, there was a complete mat of bluebells all over the top. There were no trees, and it was just a blue haze, the whole whole hill. And that was quite a big sight. And I have actually got a little clip on a very old video of a very old cine, a picture of that. So that was my first introduction to Great Whitley. And the other thing we used to do, when we lived at Bewdley, we used to come to Red Marley Hill climb in those old days. We used to come over from Bewdley in those days for that.
Yeah.
But it did seem quite a long way away. 1956, we moved from Bewdley Hay Farm, and father bought this farm, Walsgrove Farm. I think it was for about £11,000 he paid for it. That was the farm and the farmhouse and the buildings. There weren't any other houses on it then.
How many acres was that?
It was 180 acres. 180 acres or thereabouts. We bought it from Norman Lees, who I know you've already got on some of your records. He, I believe, moved here in 1945, so I think it was 11 years he was here. And he also owned the home farm next door. And Mr. Blythings moved there the year before we moved in here, because he sold the old lot. And then what I can remember about when we first moved in here was there was a lot of, especially at the farm sale, he had a massive old military paraphernalia. I remember there was an old Bren gun carrier parked in the buildings down here, and he also owned Woodbury Hill, and in the previous 11 years before, he'd reclaimed a lot of Woodbury Hill and growing corn and grass on Woodbury Hill. And he used to, so the story goes, he used to use his old Bren gun carrier to pull a pair of discs or something or up on the hill. And I think it cost him a fortune because it would run on petrol. I all remember that. I wish we kept that, but there was a lot of military. And also in the farm buildings there was masses of small round bales, which you never see these days. They were the same size as the square bales, but they were round.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Alice Charmer Bailey used to make those. Well, he must have had one of those. And he used to make hay on top of Woodbury Hill. And the barns here were full of this hay that had been brought out down from Woodbury Hill. And we bought some of it, I think. That's right. G. Herbert Banks, David Banks' father, sold us the farm. He sold the farm, and we bought it through him. He was always fairly good at glossing things up, was David, with Banks's, Tony Banks. the particulars of this farm said there was a well-fruited kitchen garden, which always stood as a joke for us because my mother was quite a keen gardener. Anyway, what it was about two plum trees and a lot of overgrown everything else, but there was virtually nothing growing in it at all. So it was that was a bit of an understatement, that was. Anyway, we moved 1956. For a short while, because it was a lot bigger farm than we had at Bewdley, Jeff Ballard from Abbey farmed it for 4 years, with the exception of round the buildings, where Father had his poultry all outside again, because we brought a lot of poultry pens over from Bewdley, and he carried on with his poultry. And then he also put some in the buildings, in the farm buildings, in the lofts, and they used to keep them. And then he used to sell eggs in around about the place. There were one or two old people in Whitley that always used to have their eggs every week. Now, at Walsgrove in those days, there was a very large cherry orchard, quite a large cherry, behind the house on the hill. And also, as you come along the lane from the Bromyard Road end, there was a cherry orchard on the right-hand side. There were very big old trees, but they used to have very good cherries on, and we picked those for a few years anyway, but it got very very long ladders, and that didn't last for too long, because we actually used to grow Bewdley as well, so we knew a bit about growing cherries, but that didn't last very long, because the trees had had their day, really. So I'd forget which year it was. It would have been about 1962 or 3. We actually grubbed all these trees up, and I have some pictures of it somewhere, but you can find anything in his house, you're doing well. So we grubbed these trees out. Now, the other interesting thing that happened then was that, I remember when we got the cherry trees, we had to keep bird scarers to keep the birds off them. And we used to have these rattle things. I think they were at war. They used to be in the war for something. You whizzled them round like this and they go, brrr, bang, and frighten the birds off. That was a big job. Now,
As boys, you had to stand and do that.
Well, yeah, something like that. That's right, yes. So we got to 1960. I started farming here when I came back from... I've been to a farm institute, and I'd spent 12 months farming in Denmark. Farm institute, but that's where I met Judy, and then I went 12 months in Denmark farming in there, which was quite an interesting year.
Yes.
In those days. Quite a good forward-thinking farmer. And it's in Zealand, not far from Bergen, where the farm was. But I travelled quite extensively over Denmark in the year I was there. Then when we came back, I started farming here. Jeff Ballard had finished his 4 years or 5 years renting of the farm. So then we took over here. And we started, the idea was to milk cows because it seemed to be the best thing for the farm. The hill behind the house was in a very rough pasture land. It was very rough, huge anthills up there. Mm. And in those days, we were paid £12 an acre, which was quite a lot of money, to reclaim the ground, because that all goes back to the war years and not enough food. This is why we were actually paid to... Now, previously to before we came, the hill was completely riddled with rabbits, apparently. Nothing used to grow up there much. And of course, myxomatosis came, and that sorted that problem out.
Yeah.
So we improved that. The first thing is we improved the hill. I did a lot of reclamation up there with a little old 414 tractor, and that was always quite satisfactory. And we started milking here in about 1964, I think. When we was that before
63
was it? We started 63. We started milking here. We started with 6 cows, and then it turned into 19 cows, and then it built up to 150 by the time we finished in 2005. We finished milking. Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. By then the price had got terrible, and you were just working for no reason at all.
You sold it all through tankers. You didn't sell any from
We didn't sell any. It all went through the milk marketing board, Now, the Milk Marketing Board is interesting because people tend to forget this. The Milk Marketing Board is brought in by the government in the 1930s because the milk dairy farmers were getting virtually nothing for their milk because they were just being ripped off by the many by the big dairies in the 1930s. And the Milk Board was actually formed then to safeguard milk production in this country. Now, the Milk Marketing Board was extremely successful and carried on until 1983, I think. And then, of course, Maggie Thatcher banned it. So it had to then, and then they sort the whole thing all over again now, and we're back to the same position they were in 1933. So we started farming here then, and we had a few cows, we had some sheep, pigs, poultry, potatoes, and corn.
So all at the same time.
Well, there we were doing all that. That's how we had pigs. And then in, I forget when the fire, we had a fire in one of the part of the farm buildings. 1965, we had a pretty major fire here. And in the bit, it took one section of a triangle, a square of yard out.
Oh, dear.
And luckily the wind was coming from the east, so it blew it uphill away from everything else. But I can very much remember the fire brigade coming. It was somebody rang us up, actually. I'm not sure it wasn't the Owens. Rang up and said, I think your buildings are on fire. And we were in the house, and it was in the evening, and we didn't know. And anyway, the fire brigade came out, and it took them most of the night to sort it out. And we got pigs in the building, and we had to get those out. And not all, I didn't get them all out. But the first thing they did, I always remember, was we got a pool in the garden, which was a big saviour for that. The first thing, they started spraying this house because there was sparks flying off the burning buildings, coming off the roof of this house like hailstones. So they did that, but there were several fire engines here all night, and they put it out, and there was a terrible mess then.
They came from Stourport and...
Stourport and Worcester, I think, yes. Well, yeah. Bewdley, I'm not sure. Mm. But the very interesting thing in the fire was that the buildings, which are they were old buildings, but sometimes somebody had put somebody had reinforced the upstairs floor with an RSJ steel girder. It was big steel girder. But the rest of it was held up with big oak beams. And the steel girder bent like a banana in the heat. And the oak beams, it took about half an inch off them. It was absolutely amazing. Yeah. It really staggered us. There, were really hard oak beams. And the fire never in effect, and a lot of the roof timbers, because it took all the tiles came off and there was a hell of a mess. But the fact the timber was better than steel in a fire, sort of timber.
Did you have hay and straw in there?
There were pigs in that section. Just pigs. There was some poultry above. Oh, yes, there was poultry above them. Yes, there was. With pigs underneath and the poultry above them.
Yeah.
And I can remember Sergeant Dallow from Whitley. He was, and the police were up here, throwing these hens out of the window to get them out. So the next morning we had pigs and hens and heaven knows what running all over the place amongst the fire brigade. But anyway,
so what started the fire? Did you ever find out?
No, not really. I think it was probably electrical because we got these pig lights in there. I think that looking after the pigs, that was probably what happened, but we never found out what that was. Well, that was the start of things, and we gradually built the herd. We gradually built the cow herd up, and we bought some more land over at Fetlock's farm along the Martley Road. Mm-hmm. We bought that, and then we rented more ground off various people in the just around the hill here. And we were farming about 450 acres, I think, then, and which we're probably doing the same now. Now, what was going on in those days locally? Well, when I first started here, before I went to college and before I went to Denmark, I was very closely involved with the young farmers. Used to do a lot with the young farmers, with Tony Neath and David Harper was a member of our young farmers club, Richard Cole. We did a lot with the young farmers in those days. David Harper was a great man, a great person for writing plays and things, and I can remember doing these plays which were written by in a young farmers competition. But the young farmers used to meet in Whitley Village Hall, which was then the old village hall, now mm-hmm. is Hydraulic, Caradoc Hydraulic. Because Mr. Whiten used to live in the village in there. That was mm-hmm. that was the schoolmaster's house. But that's where we used to meet his young farmers. And that was quite... Then I was away for a couple of years. And then when I came back, I did a bit more with young farmers then. But that was always quite a good time with young farmers we had. And there was, of course, there was all the local people we met, like Martley Young Farmers, and there was Alfrick Young Farmers. Then they still exist. But
and local dances, were there local dances?
Oh yeah, well, yes, there were local dances. Oh yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. In mostly local dances were in Aberley Village Hall, the old village hall. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people remember, but it had a sprung floor. Special, proper sprung dance floor. Yeah. But when the farmers got going, because the whole building was a bit rickety and wooden, when the young farmers got going, the floor used to go up and down and the walls used to come in and out. That was always a joke up there about that, yes.
Yeah. What sort of music would they have?
What?
What sort of music would they have?
Oh, blimey, I can't remember things like
was
that.
Was it bands or was it records?
No, it wouldn't have been records. It'd been a band in those days. I've been alive. Oh yes, I can't remember what the actual thing were, but it wasn't a disco type thing in those days. I don't even think those existed really, did they?
Not discos, but
I don't know, that's right, yeah. We get back to other things. My mother was very much involved when she came here right from the word go in the church, as Judy in Whitley, Great Whitley Church, of course. Because at those times the chapel was used Whitley.
Yeah,
chapel
yeah.
was used in Whitley, and that really was our church, because the church down at Whitley Court wasn't really used at all because it was damp and it was actually getting in very bad repair.
Mm.
And my mother and Bill Edwards, who lived at what was the name of the house down there? Bill Edwards.
Park Farmhouse.
Mm-hmm. Bill Edwards, and there was Jan Green from Woodbury Hill Farm. There were several people who formed the
Paul Johnson
mm-hmm. Restoration Committee. And Bill Edwards was a retired director of ICI, and he was an absolute whiz kid at getting funding. So he was the one, really, Bill Edwards, calling him Wham Edwards, was mm-hmm. his Christian. And he was the one, really, that got the restoration of Whitley Church started in the first place. My mother was secretary of that, and later Irene Johnson was, I think. But there was a lot of work went on, and it is thanks to that original gang of people who really saved Whitley Church. It would have been a terrible mess. Because in those days, it didn't really matter if it fell down or not, you know, not like it is today. I bought my first car from Moore's Garage down here.
Yeah.
VW Beetle, 899 DAB. I remember that. I still remember. And it had been second hand. So that was Moore's Garage was quite an asset in the village. It was a shame when it went, because they did, first of all, they were VW, and Terry Moore used to do the VW bit, and Richard Moore, then they became Saab agents. And Richard Moore used to do the Saab part of it. But they sold a lot of Saab cars from there, because I remember they sold the most. They had a Saab, particularly fast Saab they produced, and I forget what it was. Anyway, that they sold the most Saab cars in the country at one time.
Gosh.
At Moore's, yeah. They were very good garage, and then, of course, that had to close, and that was a shame. But anyway, these things do go on.
You had two Saab cars.
No, we had our, mine was the first Beetle, mine the Beetle. Andrew used to go in the back, our eldest son in the Caricot in the back. But we kept that for quite a long time, that car, until something went wrong with the heating device. It never was very good, but we said to fill the car with fumes, so we thought it was about time to get rid of it. So then we had two Saab cars after that as well. Oh, I expect you've already heard all our three children went to Whitley School. Mm. And what a brilliant school it was, and still is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it started a lot of good children off in the, you know, with a good education.
Mm-hmm. Your farm sort of expanded after you came back from college, by the sounds of things.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And then who did you have to employ, or were you able to manage it
yourselves? Oh, yeah, we had. No, we didn't. Well, I mean, because I was full-time working then. I mean, there was no such thing as managers. It was...
Yes.
We used to do it ourselves. No, we used to employ a cowman. We had several... Actually, it's interesting. We had several people... Cowman, as we call them. That's why we built the
1960s.
Ah, it was in 60. Yes, it was. Yes, yeah.
What built them in mid-60s?
Yeah, mid-60s. Anyway,
we built... went in one side and the cowman was in the other.
Yeah, that's right. So it was early to mid-60s we built the farm cottages, that's right. Yeah, we had cowman in there. Now, one of our first cowmen was a chap called Tilly. And his name was Tilly Tilly Kurakura Saria. And he was dark-skinned, and he came from Sri Lanka.
Oh, goodness.
And his parents, who I met once, they came over, were very aristocratic Sri Lankans. And it was when Sri Lanka went from a almost communism in there, and a person called Bandaranaike, I think it is, took over Sri Lanka, and anybody that got any property... it was all taken away from them. And Tilly's mother and father had a lot of tea plantations, and it was nearly all taken off them by the state.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
And they were left, I think, with a very small business with a garage. And of course, Tilly and his sister, none of them knew how to live like we do today. They had servants.
Yeah, yeah.
And Tilly's sister... she came over to England, she took a degree, and then she became a doctor and went back to Sri Lanka, I remember that well. And Tilly came over and he was a bit lost, poor chap. He actually came over and went to work for... Safari Park. Because
looking after the elephants.
Looking after the elephants and stuff. Then he replied to our advert and came and worked for us. And he was a thoroughly nice chap and very nice, and he was well educated and a very pleasant chap. So and then he married while he was here, didn't he, Jew? And
yes.
He was here for a long time. So we have had various people living and working over the years. And of course, latterly, a lot of the work we do ourselves. I've got two sons. And the main labour we use is casual labour at poultry plucking time and cutting asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I could say is that in the 19... I've always got my dates wrong because I can't remember. We formed